Now, many of you are familiar with like the Soybean Bureau, the Corn Association, the Farm Council, different organizations like that. Well, let me introduce you to the Dakota Cannabis Club, a member-driven association that provides professional assistance to the cannabis industry, plus representation at the state capitol. The future of North Dakota's cannabis industry is being set today, with laws and rules under development that will define how the business can operate in the future. DakotaCannabisClub.com. That's DakotaCannabisClub.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. In our next segment, we talk with Dwayne Sand, President and CEO of North Star Water.
Dwayne Sand, President and CEO of North Star Water and Whitehorse Water, captain in the Navy, father, husband, live in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Thank you for joining the program today. We're continuing our series on the water industry, kind of a unique topic for a lot of people. Let's start off with how long you've been doing the water industry.
I've been involved since early 2012 full-time. So it's going on my sixth year here very shortly, but it's been a very, very busy and rapidly changing business world up there in the Bakken.
How exactly does the water industry work?
Well, clearly everybody who knows, who reads newspapers, I would imagine, and watches TV at a minimum knows that the oil industry uses a lot of fresh water for fracking. That's how the shale plays in America, obviously, especially the Bakken, are developed. The fracturing of the shale and the resulting oil and gas that come up from 10,000 feet below. Over the, you know, it's been a huge evolution of the water business, so to speak. In the early days, starting in 2009 and 10, you know, usually oil companies without any infrastructure, water infrastructure, would truck. And we know those stories. There were thousands and thousands more trucks in North Dakota just 5 years ago than there are now. And that was primarily how water got delivered to oil pads, back when there was only one oil well per oil pad. And, you know, these days, after 5 years of sustained growth before the big downturn, myself included, we've built, you know, there's been hundreds of miles of fresh water pipe put in the ground that come from all different sources, primarily Lakes Kakalea, Missouri River, Little Missouri River, Yellowstone River, and some large, you know, inland lakes in North Dakota. And they go to distribution centers called CDP, Central Delivery Points, and from there they're smaller pipelines or trucks or long leaflet hoses, which is something that hasn't been in North Dakota in, but for 3 years, you know, miles and miles of this 8 and 10 inch and sometimes 12 inch largely rubber fiber mix hose that lays flat when empty, which can pump up to 40 to 50 to 60 barrels per minute, is set up between CDPs and oil pads. And that takes a tremendous amount of investment. So there's been an industry, a business that started up to support oil companies in fracking. And it's, you know, the more and more wells that are fracked lately, largely since 2014, when oil wells would use about 80 to 90,000 barrels per well for fracking, typically nowadays, there's none that are really, very few that are under 200 or 250,000 barrels. And that's because the oil industry has found out that, excuse me, the more fresh water they use, the more oil they get.
You have an industry established. You've been doing it for a while. And I wanted to ask you about the Western Area Water Supply Authority, WAS. That got created over the last, I don't know, whatever it was, 5-6 years. Did that have any impact on your business? I was talking to a gentleman that it did. And so is that the same with yours, since you're in the same industry as WAS is?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Jason, and that's why I'm so glad you're doing this interview and getting the word out. This story of the Western Area Water Supply is probably the biggest story of government intrusion into private business since the state of North Dakota created the Bank of North Dakota, the only state-owned bank in America, or the mill and elevator, state-owned mill and elevator, the only one of that, again, that's in the country. The state of North Dakota in 2011, the legislature spent literally tens and tens of millions of dollars creating another political subdivision called the Western Area Water Supply Authority. And the intent was good at first. It was to bring, the stated goal was to bring water to rural North Dakotans. That's a great and noble goal. And, you know, there's a lot of farmers and ranchers, even today, who still don't have water, a reliable source of non-well water, from a central location like the Western Area Water Supply would provide them. And it's the same that's been created out in eastern North Dakota for years and years and years, and to include the Southwest Water District out of Dickinson, which has been supplying water for 20 years to farmers and ranchers all around Southwestern North Dakota. The difference is the legislature in 2011 decided that they would give the Western Air Water Supply, it's called NWAS, on the authority to sell industrial water at 11 different truck depots in Northwestern North Dakota. And that water, which when there was a lot of trucking going on, was a good idea to help out the industry who was running into potentially, they thought at that time, a shortage of water. Well, what happens with every government program is happened with this program. It's grown and grown, and in 2013, particularly in 15, whereas WAS and their board of directors tried to literally make it illegal for private citizens to sell water within 10 miles of these truck depots, they changed their tactic. When that was defeated in the legislature, they changed their tactic and they then decided that they could sell industrial water anywhere from any piece of pipe they put in the ground. And you have to understand, so the taxpayers are spending millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, to grow WISE, which is primarily supposed to bring water to farmers and ranchers. It soon became the primary mission of WISE to bring water to oil companies and bypass and ignore farmers and ranchers. And they're doing it, taxpayers' expense, competing with taxpayers and private industry. And on top of it, they're paying a fraction, a 1%, 2% fraction of the cost of in what we spend in right-of-ways and easements across private land. So they've not only been empowered to be in competition with us, but to do it at such a lower cost with, subsidized taxpayer water that it's put a tremendous strain and put several independent water providers out of business.
So at one point, they actually tried to make a regulation so that private water companies could not sell to oil and gas, or was it within a certain mile range of something, or what was that? Can you clarify that a little bit?
Yeah, in the 2013 legislature, several bills were introduced by legislators who were supportive of laws to literally, by state code, make it illegal for independent water providers to provide water within 10-mile radius of these truck depots. And, that's clearly not right. It's clearly an infraction of rights that every citizen has, and it's clearly socialism. And it was defeated pretty easily, but the push kept coming, and then the following legislature in 2015, they changed their tactic completely and testified. I was testifying in the Senate at the same committee meeting that they had decided that effective in 2015, any piece of pipe they'd put in the ground, and they put hundreds of miles in the ground, that they could and would sell industrial water to any location, build them directly to oil pads, in direct competition with independent water providers and do it at a fraction of the cost. So there's many people talking about lawsuits now. We're trying to collect data on the losses because of laws in the private industry.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dwayne Sand, President and CEO of North Star Water, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
So now the sharks in the water, babe, they think you're pretty sweet. No, they're never gonna get you with the big old pearly teeth.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. To find out more about Tom Peckskamp and his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.